From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
He's pulling away by three. Jorge Chavez and Monarcos have won the Kentucky Derby. And the final time was 1:59.45. He was as fast as Secretariat.
Arrowgate, full out. Can he stick with him? California Chrome. Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome. Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
It's Ali Dar and Affirm battling back along the inside. We'll test these two to the wire. Affirmed under a left-hand whip. Ali Dar on the outside driving. Affirmed and Ali Dar heads apart. Affirm's got a nose in front as they come onto the wire.
The Derby winner, Barnett Bird, closing a late gap, but it is Rachel Alexandra. She's simply above and beyond them. A filly has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Good morning once again, everyone. Happy Leap Day, and welcome to the show that launched this great network, the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you from our studios in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky, and extending a special welcome to everyone tuning in across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, all of you listening on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and those listening digitally at horseracingradio.net. Happy to have you with me for the next couple of hours as we continue to edge closer to the first Saturday in May. And when you look out the window this morning throughout much of the Commonwealth, you're going to see a bit of white on the ground. Yeah, a little snow coming in last night. Not much, about an inch and a half in many locations. But this thought will warm you up a little bit. 63 days, 9 hours, 48 minutes, and no seconds. That's it. How about this? 63 days, 9 hours, 47 minutes, and 54 seconds until the Run for the Roses, Saturday, May 2nd at Churchill Downs. And that thought, let that sit there for a minute and start thinking about the roses and about the pageantry that goes along with the Kentucky Derby. Of course, we're going to be there as your official radio home of the Kentucky Derby once again in partnership with NBC Sports and with Westwood One. You can head over to our website to check out a complete Derby Week schedule. Well, I mentioned that this is Leap Day, and this is a leap year. And I thought I would start the program with a bit of a history lesson this morning. Leap year, for those of you that might not be aware, occurs every 4 years. February 29th is the extra day added to the calendar in these years, which becomes known as a leap day. The additional 24 hours are built into the calendar to ensure that the calendar stays in line with the Earth's movement around the sun. My wife, the Baroness, despises leap years because it means that she has to wait an extra day for her birthday, which is March 1st. And, of course, me, being the understanding, wonderful husband that I am, I'm always quick to point out to her that the fact that she gets to stay 1 year younger for an extra day is a good thing, which usually leads to her saying something along the lines of, screw you, where's my damn present? Well, she'll have to wait till tomorrow to get that present because this is a leap year. And leap day, I thought this was interesting. Leap day falls on a Saturday once every 28 years. So the last leap day on a Saturday was in 1992. Which means that this is the first ever Leap Day show that has ever occurred on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Because, of course, we launched this network in 2005. I had just turned 21 years old and was a junior in college the last time that a Leap Day fell on a Saturday. Of course, I spent all day Saturday and Saturday night studying in the library at that point. But the Fountain of Youth Stakes will be contested later this afternoon at Gulfstream Park. And the horse that won the Fountain of Youth in 1992, the last time a leap day fell on a Saturday, was Dance Floor. Might remember that horse, owned by rap star MC Hammer, trained by Wayne Lucas, and ridden by the late Chris Antley. The Kentucky Derby winner that same year, Little E.T., the only Derby victory for Hall of Fame jockey Pat Day. Trainer Lynn Whiting, owner Cal Partee, That was a special day at Churchill Downs. I would say that Hall of Fame jockeys Chris McCarron, Eddie Delahousse, and Patrick Valenzuela would gladly rewind the clock back to 1992 and that Breeders' Cup that year. Each of those jockeys won two races, two Breeders' Cup races that day at Gulfstream Park. And remember, in 1992, there were only seven Breeders' Cup races. We didn't have all the divisions that we have today. Each of those jockeys won two. Chris won the Juvenile with Gilded Time and the Distaff with Passeana. P-Vale took the Juvenile Fillies with Eliza and the Turf with Phrase. And Eddie won the Sprint with 30 Slews. By the way, the first of 15 Breeders' Cup wins for Bob Baffert. Who knew back in 1992 what we would see from Bob? And then he took the Classic later that same day with AP Indy, who we lost just 8 days ago. So here's my trivia question for today. I thought this would be fun. I'm in a giving mood. I want to give away a few HRN caps. So my trivia question for today, not the poll question, that will be separate. But the trivia question, and the first three people to tweet the correct answer at HRN or to email me with the correct answer are going to receive an HRN cap. The first three people. Of course, my email, mike@horseracingradio.net. Who is the only other jockey that year, 1992, to win a Breeders' Cup race other than Chris McCarron, Eddie Delahousse, and P-Vale? There was obviously only one. Seven races. They won six of them. Who was the one other jockey? And if you really want to get fancy, tell me the horse. Not necessary to win the prize. I'm just looking for the jockey. The first three people to tweet at HRN on Twitter or to email me, mike@horseracingradio.net, with the correct answer are going to receive an HRN cap. I'll send that to you this week. A few other horse racing ties to leap year that I found interesting as I was getting ready for the show. Trainer Dale Romans, who saddles the 2-1 morning line favorite, Dennis's Moment, in today's Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream. He'll be with me, by the way, at 8:35 Eastern. He has saddled the winner of Keeneland's Bluegrass Stakes twice. He did it with Dullahan, or Dullahan, however you want to pronounce that horse's name. That was up for debate back in 2012. And he did it again with Brody's Cause in 2016. What do those 2 years have in common? Well, both were leap years. As a matter of fact, the last two leap years prior to this year. So I'm pretty sure Dale's going to be pointing somebody, maybe Dennis's Moment, to the Bluegrass this year. It seems to work for him. Same goes for trainer Doug O'Neill, who I would imagine is probably welcoming the extra day with open arms here in 2020. Doug's two Kentucky Derby wins came in the previous two leap years, 2012 with I'll Have Another and 2016 with Nyquist. One other horse racing tie, trainer Billy Turner, who swept the Triple Crown with Seattle Slough in 1977, is what is known as a leapling, meaning that he will be celebrating his 80th birthday today, which, of course, also makes him an octogenarian. And Billy's going to be with me right around 9:10 Eastern. We're going to try to get a hold of Billy. The birthday boy will be with me 9:10 Eastern time. So there are some interesting ties to leap year. I'm sure there are plenty more, too, but those were a few of the interesting ones that I picked up on. Don't forget, you also have the $20 million Saudi Cup taking place later today, post time 12:40 Eastern, the coverage. You can watch it on FS1, noon to 1 Eastern time this afternoon. You have three-year-old champion Maximum Security, champion older female Midnight Bisou, McKinsey, Mucho Gusto for Bob Baffert. You have Tacitus in North America for Hall of Famer Bill Mott. And then you have Gronkowski in there too, runner-up in the 2018 Belmont, along with a host of international participants. Should be a really, really good race. And $20 million, $10 million to the winner. Again, post 12:40 Eastern coverage, noon to 1 Eastern on FS1. Well, I told you Dale Romans is going to be here at 8:35. Looking forward to that visit, as always. Billy Turner, right around 9:10. Liam O'Rourke from Windstar is going to kick off the show in just about 5 minutes from right now. Our Stallion Spotlight segment is presented by Red Brand Fence every week, and we're going to focus this week on the Windstar Stallions. And Liam is the season's sales manager at WinStar, so get a chance to talk to Liam coming up in a few minutes. Brendan Walsh, he'll be with me at 9 o'clock Eastern. He sends out Vitalogy in today's Palm Beach Stakes at Gulfstream, and he also has Maxfield, the undefeated three-year-old, still awaiting his three-year-old debut after being scratched from the Breeders' Cup. He's back in training now, so I'll get an update from Brendan coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern on Maxfield as well. Bob Elliston is going to be with me at 9:20 Eastern. The Vice President of Racing and Sales at Keeneland is going to talk about the announcement that came out earlier this week, Thursday to be exact, where Keeneland and Churchill have partnered with some new safety regulations that are going to begin this spring with the April meet at Keeneland. Among those, a ban on Lasix in two-year-old races starting with the spring meet at Keeneland. There are some other things as well that horsemen will have to deal with, all in the interest of equine safety. Going to talk to Bob coming up at 9:20 about those things. And then at the end of the program, Acacia Courtney, the handicapper at Gulfstream, HRN graduate, she's going to be with me 9:40 to handicap some of the big races down there at Gulfstream Park, including the Fountain of Youth. So we'll get her thoughts to wrap up the program. Also, our Calling All three-year-old segment presented by Spendthrift, our Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris, and our monthly Kentucky Bread Spotlight brought to you by the KTA KTOB. An awful lot of things to get to this morning. Going to be a very busy show. We'll kick it off next with Liam O'Rourke from WinStar. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire, World of Trouble.
World of Trouble and Manny Frickle win the Jiper.
World of Trouble takes the Carter.
One of the fastest horses of his generation, the son of Cantharos captured both the Grade 1 Carter on dirt and Grade 1 Jiper on turf this year and would go on to record 100-plus buyer speed figures in his last seven starts, including a 118 buyer as a three-year-old, the highest three-year-old buyer speed figure of 2018. World of Trouble, standing at Hillendale.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Unanimous champion two-year-old and three-time Grade 1 winner Classic Empire got off to a fantastic start with his first weanlings at the November sales. Averaging over $100,000 from 27 sold, up to eight times his initial $35,000 stud fee. Right on the same cross as champion freshman sire American Pharoah, Classic Empire's outstanding race record is backed up with a stallion's pedigree. Being from the family of Harlan's Holiday, Ride the Rails, and Bold Nijin. Standing for just $20,000, Classic Empire looks like a serious value for 2020.
The Florida Thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida Breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, and along the way, making 170 racehorse millionaires, plus 66 Eclipse Awards, with two Florida Breds, Imperial Hint and World of Trouble, receiving Eclipse Award nominations in 2020. The FTBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Eddie Woods is the perennial leading consigner, having sold multiple greatest stakes winners, including 26 Grade 1 winners and four champions.
Big Brown bombing home!
Midnight Luke could not have been more
awesome.
This is a scintillating performance from Lady Eli.
And look at this guy go. Instagram.
Galilean, who will put on another impressive display.
A passion for hard work that produces big-time results. Find your next winner at the Eddie Woods Consignment. Visit eddiewoods.com.
Hi, this is jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love listening to my friends on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Constitution, head and head, Wildcat Red, Constitution, won a Florida Derby, and Constitution has won!
Final furlong of the Toyota Bluegrass, it will be Carpe Diem! Rolling through Lexington and headed on for Churchill Downs. He wins it.
But in the Sagamore Racing Pimlico Special is Commissioner.
And Yoshida has taken the lead under Joel Rosario. Leofric is second on the inside. Yoshida! Yoshida has won the Woodward.
They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. That montage you just heard was of the Windstar Stallions. Going to be joined by Liam O'Rourke momentarily here on the show, but want to congratulate a few of the trivia question winners. You're all going to be receiving HRN ball caps this week. They go to Mark, to King, to Clifford, and to John. Those were the first four. I said three, but those were the first four correct responses. We did have a tie in terms of the timing, so I'm going to send out four caps. Why not? We'll send out four ball caps. Mark, King, Clifford, and John, congratulations. The answer to the question of which jockey was the only jockey outside of Chris McCarron, Eddie Delahousse, and P-Val to win a Breeders' Cup race in 1992. And you guys all gave me the winning horse, too. Good job. Mike Smith aboard Lure for Shug McGahee. That Mike Smith guy turned out to be pretty good, too. Yeah, so all four of you are going to receive caps. I'll get those out to you. I'll contact you with your address, and we'll get those out to you here later this week. I got so excited talking about Leap Day and Leap Year that I forgot to give out the poll question in the first half of the program. So here you go. The poll question, you can weigh in at HRN on Twitter, is this. Quite simply, who is your pick to win today's Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream? Give you some choices here, too. We'll give you Dennis's Moment, Chance It, As Seen on TV, and then the fourth one will be Other. If you like somebody else, specify who that is. If you choose Other, let me know. But who is your pick to win today's Fountain of Youth? Dennis's Moment, Chance It, As Seen on TV, and then Other, and specify if you choose that one. I'll pass along the results of that poll question later in the program. Liam O'Rourke is with me now. He is the season sales manager at Windstar. A man who knows the Stallions as good as anybody, and he's with me now here on HRRN. Liam, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to guess that if you're weighing in on that poll question, you're probably leaning in Dennis's Moments direction, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that one's a cinch for me. I'd be sprinkling my dollars on him.
A son of Windstar Stallion Tisnow. And I mean, let's face it, Tisnow has had so much success. We're going to talk about several others, but Tisnow has had so much success in his career, and here he is with another big horse. Pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's had a storied career both on the racetrack and in the breeding shed. He's he's been a cornerstone of the Stallion Barn here at Windstar for many years, and he's back this year. We've had good early returns on the mare's bred to him, so we're just excited for what the rest of this Triple Crown trail holds for Dennis's Moment, looking for a nice comeback performance today.
I was wishing that we had a little bit more time for that montage that I played coming out of the commercial break, because we could only focus on so many stallions, and you have a bunch at Windstar and so many others that have put in top performances and given racing fans and horsemen so many memories over the years. Always Dreaming. We'll start there. We'll start with A, and Always Dreaming. Here's a horse, the Kentucky Derby winner, who not only provided people with some great memories on the racetrack, but is now starting to get his stud career off to a great start.
Yeah, it's exciting. We're seeing the first foals for Always Dreaming this year. It's been a lot of fun to get out and see them. You know, like you mentioned, his racing career, he was a, you know, showed a lot of ability at two, ran some very strong numbers, and came into his own as a three-year-old, you know, winning a historic Florida Derby, going on, carrying that speed yet a bit further in the Kentucky Derby. So all the accomplishments were there as a racehorse. He retired last year, bred a full book. He was very well supported, very well received. And we're seeing his first foals this year. It's one of my favorite things to do is to get around to the different farms and, you know, and see new foals, especially the ones by first-year sires. So I've had the opportunity to see several of them now, a good number of them now, including we have seven here on the farm at Windstar. So, you know, he was quite well supported by us. I think the first takeaway with what we've seen is the consistency. He's getting a nice consistent type, plenty of leg, a deep girth, good shape, good hind leg. And, you know, it's funny, they're all, many of them are kind of the same color and have these pretty heads on them with a bit of flash. So we're thrilled with what we've seen early on here, and looking forward to November when, you know, they'll hit the market and we can show our product to the buyers and the breeders.
Yeah, it's so exciting, and this is a fun time to be here in the bluegrass when you get a chance to, even me, just driving around, and you look in the paddocks, yeah. And you see all the different babies out there. You don't know who they are, but for you, it's kind of cool to drive around and get a chance to look at specific babies that are by your stallions. It's a great time of year.
Yeah, it's a great vibe, you know, this year in Lexington. You kind of drive by these fields, you know, on your regular route day to day. And, you know, one day you see two foals, and then a couple days later you see four, and then you see six. And, you know, it's exciting. We've got all the traffic on the road, all the vans. You can see all the vans making the breeding shed run. So it's an exciting time of year for us.
The fun thing about this, too, is you get to watch these horses develop. So Always Dreaming, for example, has his first babies on the ground, his first foals. Exaggerator, yeah, is going to have his first horses on the racetrack here in 2020, his first two-year-olds.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about him. He's probably my favorite horse in the barn. You know, excellent racing career. He was an early two-year-old, broke his maiden at Del Mar, shipped back east, and you know, won the Saratoga Special on a fast main track there at Saratoga, which is, you know, which has been a great, that main track there at Saratoga has been a great measuring stick for ability for many, many years. Went on to win three grade ones as a three-year-old and retired sound to us. After that, he was booked full his first 2 years at 30,000. He bred 325 mares in his first two crops. So very, very, well supported. We're just around the corner from the two-year-old sales. He's got 15 at OBS. That's quite impressive. And another four down in Miami, and we'll see when the other catalogs come out. But, you know, we're excited for him. Obviously, a top son of Curlin. The way he is, you know, Curlin's become such an influence in the game. And, you know, we're excited to have, you know, who we think is his best three-year-old son here at Windstar.
Talking to Liam O'Rourke from Windstar here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He handles all the season sales, so you can get a hold of him out there if you want to book a mare. You can do that with Liam and the entire team. They do a great job out there at Windstar. And again, a plethora of stallions. We don't have time to touch on all of them this morning in this segment, but let's turn our attention now to Constitution, because I talked about Always Dreaming, first foals, Exaggerator, first two-year-olds, and Constitution, who has already made a name for himself with horses on the racetrack, is going to have his first three-year-olds here in 2020.
Yeah, it's been a tremendous start for Constitution. I mean, he got off to a really good start in 2019. You know, a number of high-class runners. You know, we had a huge amount of interest in him coming into the 2020 breeding season. The next few months are going to be exciting. He's got three, I think, major players on the Kentucky Derby trail, and Tizala, who sounds like he's going to the Florida Derby, Independence Hall and Gouverneur Morris, who I think their next races aren't quite determined, but really looking forward to that. You know, he's Constitution, also a Florida Derby winner, just like Always Dreaming. We have a few in the barn in Take Charge Indy and Audible as well, so we really like that race as far as a stallion producing race. So he, you know, Constitution's just really establishing himself as an elite sire here in Kentucky, and you know, providing a lot of excitement for us. We have had a great partner on him all the way along, and Mr. Davidson and Twin Creeks Farm and Randy and their whole team, and it's been a lot of fun to see the satisfaction of a stallion really starting to make his mark.
Yeah, how rewarding is it, Liam, for you and for the team? And the, you know, the amount of time, the amount of work that you put into to working with these stallions and hoping that the horses, their offspring, are going to turn out to be good. When they do, and a horse like Constitution hits like this, how rewarding is it for you and for the team?
Yeah, I mean, it's hugely rewarding. It's such a tough business. It's a competitive business. You know, we make our best efforts to give every horse that comes to Windstar a good foundation, and give them the opportunity to get started at their stallion career. So, you know, it takes, there's a lot of hands, you know, involved, you know, from our team who are trying to attract the best mares to the stallions, all of our dedicated customers who have faith in the horses that we bring to them. You know, the folks on the farm that are raising these young horses, like it's just such a big, long, you know, process, a lot of investment, a lot of time, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. So when we have one that that jumps up here the way Constitution has, it's, you know, we all get to, you know, celebrate together.
Windstar has a pretty neat incentive program for black type winners. It's called the WIN program, W-I-N, WIN program. Tell me a little bit about that, Liam.
Yeah, the WIN program, that's something that we're very proud of here. WIN stands for the Windstar Incentive Network. It was a program that was devised by Windstar, by Elliot and Mr. Trout and the shareholders back in 2016. And it's become, I think, one of the most important incentive programs in the breeding business. Just for a quick overview, if anyone's not familiar with it, we award the breeders of stakes-winning horses by our sires with financial rewards. Anywhere from 10,000 up to 100,000. So we would do a listed stakes of 75,000. You'd get a $10,000 award. A grade two is at 20,000. A grade three is at 20,000. A grade two would be 40,000. A grade one would be 80,000. And any Breeders' Cup, Triple Crown, or Kentucky Oaks is 100,000. So the program we got dinged pretty early. It was launched just before Breeders' Cup 2016, and we got hit for two Breeders' Cup winners and a Kentucky Derby winner in the first 6 months. So it brought a lot of attention to the program. It's a program that it extends to all horses on our roster. It's not specific to a crop year, a certain racetrack, a maiden race, whatever it may be. It's everything here at Windstar. So it's quite hard to raise a good horse, and we wanted to reward success. We felt this, the feedback that we've received from our dedicated breeders is that it's been quite impactful. A couple other aspects of it that I think are important. There's been some discussion as of late about these, quote unquote, bubble year stallions and, the struggle to attract mares. We've given since the inception of the program, we're talking $750,000 for the winners of stakes by sires in their second, third, and fourth crop. So I think it's allowed our customers to focus on, breeding to sires they like, focus on a good mating and kind of relieve some of that commercial pressure. So that's been quite well received. It's a great way. It shows that we stand by our stallions, even stallions who are no longer on our current or active roster for whatever reason it may be, relocation, retirement, whatever it is. We still give you 50% of those standard awards for the horses you've bred. So, again, it's a way that we stand by our horses. The feedback, again, has just been, very impactful. We've awarded over... there's been 4.6 million in horses in awards that we've had to give out.
Yeah, great program. If you go to WinStarFarm.com, you can learn more about that program. You can also see all of the stallions for the 2020 season, 20 of them to be exact. It is a jam-packed roster and a really, really solid roster at WinStar. And my thanks to Liam O'Rourke for taking time to be with me here this morning. Liam, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Liam, real quick before I let you go, when Elliot volunteered you to join me this morning for this segment, you told me that you hadn't done much media, so you didn't know how good you were going to be. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I think you should do more media, my friend. Well done.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to get on here. It's a wonderful show that we listen to weekly, so glad that I could be a part of it.
Appreciate it, Liam. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Liam O'Rourke with your Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and the entire team at the Lexus store of Lexington. When I come back, I'm going to be joined by trainer Dale Romans to talk about Dennis's Moment, the morning line favorite in this afternoon's Fountain of Youth. That's all ahead right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On an absolutely picture-perfect day for Thoroughbred Racing at Saratoga, the Dowager Empress of American Racing, seven horses were to go postward for the 1941 Hopeful Stakes. This race, the fourth on the day's card, was for two-year-olds, ipso facto, the moniker. It had originally drawn 238 nominees, but that number was cut down to 133 eligibles prior to the race. The reason that a short field of seven went postward was that three of the seven raced as a single betting interest for trainer John Gaver. The Manhasset stable had Amphitheater, the Sir Galahad III colt who had won the Saratoga Special in commanding style. The Green Tree colors were sported by Shutout, the Equipoise colt who had run second in the Special and won the Grand Union Hotel Stakes, and Devil Divers, the other half of their entry. Devil Diver was a St. German's colt who'd run second to Shutout in both the Grand Union and the Sanford. Mrs. Payne Whitney owned Green Tree, and her daughter, Mrs. C.S. Payson, owned Manhasset Stable. As an aside, a horse named Buster was in the field, and he was owned by Mrs. Payne Whitney's son, John Hay Whitney. They had, in those days, come to be known as, quote-unquote, the royal family of the American turf. To most observers, the three-horse entry of Devil Diver, Shutout, and Amphitheater looked to be unbeatable. All three had been racing against better company than there was in this field and had scored impressive wins. Shortly after the start, Devil Diver glided to the lead and his stablemate Shutout was right there, prompting to pace under the venerable heady Eddie Arcaro. Those two were on the lead, on to and around the far turn, with the rest of the small field well-bunched and not far back. Around that far turn, there was considerable jockeying for position, which resulted in some bumping. The primary offender was Shutout under Arcaro. Arcaro jostled a challenging Ramillies a good bit amongst others. Devil Diver clung to the lead down the lane, even though tiring a bit in the final furlong, and won it by an open length. Shutout was second by a length, Amphitheater third. So the three-horse entry nailed down the top three spots. In fact, Buster finished fourth so that the entire amount of the stakes went to the Whitney family. The rest of the story, and the result of a very roughly run race, was that an Ask No Quarter and Give None Eddie Arcaro, who had just resumed riding the previous week after a 30-day suspension for rough riding in Empire City, was once again suspended for his cowboy tactics, so to speak, in this running of the Hopeful, pending a hearing, of course. At that hearing, the stewards of the Jockey Club suspended him for the rest of the year. Many thought the suspension should have been for life, since the foul in the Hopeful was so blatantly flagrant. You'd think the young, aggressive, and precocious Arcaro would have learned his lesson from that, but not Eddie. Early the next year, in the Cowden Stakes, Arcaro and his mount got bumped just after the start while he was aboard Occupation. The offending rider was Vince Nodars aboard Breezing Home. Arcaro and Occupation eventually caught up to Breezing Home and Nodars in the late stages of that race. Arcaro then brought his mount up outside of Nodars and Breezing Home and literally tried to put Nodars over the inside rail. The stewards called Eddie in after the race and asked him just exactly what he was trying to do. Said Eddie, "I was trying to kill that Cuban." For that, Eddie got suspended for 1 year. a hopeful of 1941 in August, and the victory of Devil Diver and Arcaro's Rough Ride in it, plus the aftermath in Eddie Arcaro's career, a truly memorable, if not great, moment as part of one of the legends of thoroughbred racing.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation is a top 10 third crop sire by earnings, black type winners, and graded stakes winners. With nearly $7 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by six black type horses in 2019. From a second crop, three-year-old daughter Serengeti Empress won the 2019 Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and was runner-up in both the Grade 1 Test and Acorn Stakes. Serengeti Empress finished the year with a strong third to older mares in the Breeders' Cup Distaff and is a finalist for Eclipse Champion three-year-old filly. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Grade 1 winning millionaire Preservationist. The exceptionally talented son of Arch boasts Foundation mares Courtly D and Manad on the top and bottom of his blue-blooded pedigree. On the racetrack, he was one of 2019's best, taking the Grade 1 Woodward at Saratoga and historic Suburban at Belmont Park.
And Preservationist has won the Suburban by 4.5 lengths over Catholic Boy and Pebble.
Preservationist, another exciting addition to the Airdrie Stud Stallion roster. Think about it.
The Florida thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, and along the way, making 170 racehorse millionaires, plus 66 Eclipse Awards, with two Florida breds, Imperial Hint and World of Trouble, receiving Eclipse Award nominations in 2020. The FTBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
This is Chris Landeros. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
First finish line in use in the Fountain of Youth. Promises fulfilled. Still has the lead. Strike Power is second. Good Magic will need to do better. He's third, only 2.5 lengths off the lead. Then it's a gap of three to Machismo, who finds his best stride and may turn in. The leader, Promises Fulfilled, tries to do it every step. Strike Power to the attack one more time. Good Magic has been defeated, then Machismo. Less than a 16th to go. The leader is still Promises Fulfilled, and Promises Fulfilled will spring the upset to win the Fountain of Youth under Irad Ortiz Jr. Strike Power was second, Good Magic third, then Machismo, and 144 flat.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. That was Pete Aiello with the call of the 2018 running of the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream. Promises Fulfilled getting the victory for trainer Dale Romans. He is hoping for a similar outcome later today with Dennis's Moment, the 2-1 morning line favorite. And Dale is nice enough to spend a little time with me now on what is a very busy morning for him. Dale, appreciate the time, my friend. Good morning.
No problem. Good morning.
You think back to 2018 and that win by Promises Fulfilled. You just heard the race call. What comes to mind when you hear that call?
It was an exciting night. It ended up being a great day. That's what introduced Promises Fulfilled to the rest of the country.
Well, Dennis's Moment is no stranger to the rest of the country and horse racing fans around the United States. But look, this has been a roller coaster ride with him. You talk about this sport having the highest highs and the lowest lows. In four starts, you've experienced all of those with Dennis's Moment.
Yeah, it's been tough. You know, the first time out, I thought he was as good a horse I ever had. First, watch a horse flip heels with him, almost sit him head over heels and ride it, fall off from him, run around there with the reins dangling, thinking he was going to put his foot in him. But everything, he came out of it in good shape. And then the Breeders' Cup, I mean, you know, you can't get over that kind of race.
Yeah, I mean, take me back to that day. You're sitting there, you're the favorite going into the starting gate for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He stumbles at the start, stumbles horribly, and somehow Irad Ortiz is able to stay on. But, man, what's going through your mind as you're watching that, Dale?
Well, I just said it was over. I mean, that's how we were going to lose. And, you know, when you're leading up to one of these big races, you keep imagining them in your head how you're going to win, and sometimes you imagine what could happen to make you lose. Well, that was what happened. And it was just a long day that day. It's been a long time waiting to get him back to the races.
Yeah, today should be, you know, a good day for you, hopefully all things being equal. But take me back to the months now, from November 1st and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile until today. What things have you been doing with Dennis's Moment over those months?
Well, you know, the original plan always was win, lose, and draw Breeders' Cup, take him over to Windstar Farm and let him have a little downtime, and then pick him up, bring him to Florida, get ready for the Fountain of Youth. After he stumbled, I mean, it was hard to stick to the plan. I was so tempted to bring him back for one more start at two, but we didn't. We cooler heads prevailed, and we decided to stick to the original plan. So he was out 38 days, and then he came down here to Florida and just started his journey back. I think we've had a bunch of works. But he has not missed one day since he's been here for any reason. He hasn't been off schedule, and that's unusual for a horse over this period of time to come in every single day, and he's ready to go do his work.
Do you think maybe, Dale, and I know it didn't seem like it after the Breeders' Cup, do you think maybe that little bit of time off, letting him develop a little bit more physically and mentally, it could end up being a blessing in disguise for you?
Well, I don't know that the stomach could ever be a blessing in disguise. But him, you know, if he grows up and gets better and bigger and stronger, and I think he has, and I think he did, and I think there's more to come. You know, those are all good things. Things horses have to do to make it from two to three. It's a big transition in their life, and some of them are, you know, mature faster than others, but I think he's probably come back and gotten a little bigger and stronger.
Is he a big horse?
No, he's not real big, but he's got a lot of muscle on him. I tell you what he is, he's a smart horse. He might be the smartest horse I've ever been around.
What does that mean when a trainer says that, Dale?
Because he'll do anything you want him to do. Like, I put him on a vibration plate every morning. The other day, a truck came by, made a big bang, kind of spooked him. He stepped off of it. Instead of having to go put him on, he just got himself right back on. And like Tammy says, on his back when you're out there, he sees stuff going on up in front of the horses acting up. And instead of starting acting up to join him, he'll just stand and watch, wait till it's over before he goes on past.
Yeah, well, he's certainly training extremely well coming into this race. You look at all of his works. I would assume that it's exactly what you were hoping for from him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything, I don't know what one thing really went awry. You know, every time I wanted Tammy to go fast, I mean, he went fast. Every time I said, let's just take it easy today, you know, he would do take his cues. That's one thing he's doing better now than he did at two. I think it takes cues from Tammy on when to go and when not to go. Before, he kind of liked to keep, you know, it's hard to get him to slow down. Now he'll slow down and do what you want him to do.
How important is that looking ahead to a race? Like, let's assume everything goes well. You get to the first Saturday in May. You're in a race that you're going to need to make some multiple moves in if you're going to be successful. How important is it to have a horse that'll learn to do that early?
It makes a big difference. You know, and everybody who bets horses or watches horses knows about bad rides or bad trips and likes to complain. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't have enough horse, you cause bad trips. So if you have a horse that can accelerate and take cues and go, you know, that through holes, they usually aren't going to have those bad races.
Talking with trainer Dale Romans here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Dennis's moment, 2-1 morning line favorite in today's Fountain of Youth. It is his 3-year-old debut. Dale has saddled 10 starters in the Kentucky Derby, a race that he would love to win, and maybe Dennis's moment could be the one later this year. We'll have to wait to find out. Dale, looking back to your first Kentucky Derby in 2006 to where you are today, 14 years later, how are you different as a trainer and as your approach to getting a horse ready for the Kentucky Derby?
More confident, not letting the press dictate how I train my horse. And I think I made a few mistakes with a sharp humor, and that's why I never do them again. It's kind of training the way I thought people thought I should instead of just doing what I wanted to do, what got me where I was.
Yeah, I was a little surprised with that 4-furlong work on February 23rd, by the way. I'm just throwing it out there for you.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Yeah, I know you wanted me to go 7/8.
Yeah, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty clever.
Well, listen, things are going to be a little different when you get up here this spring. Keeneland, Churchill, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask you about this, but just curious if you have any thoughts on the new safety regulations implemented by Keeneland and Churchill.
I mean, I have thoughts, but that's a much longer program. So I think, let's wait and see if they come to fruition.
Well, I think you should point for the bluegrass, and I don't know if that's in the plans for Dennis's moment or not, but I was doing a little homework for the show today, and with this being a leap year and today being leap day, I happen to notice that Dale Romans has won the bluegrass stakes here at Keeneland twice, in 2012 and in 2016, both of those the last two leap years that we've seen prior to this year.
Now, that's a hell of a reach how you come up with that. That's there. Now, there's a good research department. And thanks for the heads up, and I will be in it then.
Yeah, you need to be, my friend. You need to be.
I agree. I love the bluegrass. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're going to win a race in Kentucky over someplace else, I'll be in Kentucky.
Yeah, I hear you. And you need to go get those roses this year, too.
Thank you, buddy. We're going to do our best.
All right, brother. Appreciate the time here this morning, as always. Good luck today.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
All right, Dale Romans here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. 0-10 in the Kentucky Derby. 2 third-place finishes among those 10 starters. They were Patio Prado in 2010 and Doulahan in 2012. One of his Bluegrass Stakes winners, by the way. And now he knows. He has to run in the Bluegrass this year because it's a leap year. Can't lose. Bet on Dale Romans in the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland. We'll be there, by the way, to cover that race and bring you the exclusive radio coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, so you can tune in and see if I'm right. But I wouldn't bet against Dale Romans in a leap year. And as I told you, it'd be hard to bet against Doug O'Neill if he gets a horse to the Kentucky Derby, because his two victories in the Derby came in 2012 and in 2016, the last two leap years we've seen prior to 2020. All right, still to come, going to visit with Brendan Walsh to kick off the second half of the program. Going to try and get a hold of Billy Turner right around 10 after 9, the man who trained Seattle Slew to the Triple Crown and also celebrates his 80th birthday on this leap day. Bob Elliston, the Vice President of Racing and Sales at Keeneland, going to be with me to talk about those new safety regulations that Dale reserves comment on for now. He'll be with me at 9:20, and Acacia Courtney from Gulfstream at 9:40 Eastern to handicap all the big races coming up at Gulfstream later today, including the Fountain of Youth. But when I come back, it's your Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Donnell. Caraconti.
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti. A precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 and 4/5, recording a 1:14 buyer speed figure. Caraconti possesses a strong Stormcat male line and hails from a top female family, which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. The only second crop sire with graded stakes winners on dirt and turf, Caraconti's first crop of 3-year-olds includes Sol Volante, winner of the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis Stakes, and undefeated colt Kenzai Warrior, who is pointed to the Group 1 English 2000 Guineas. Value priced at just $10,000, Caracanti gets the gold according to Chris McGrath's value podium in the TDN. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caracanti at Gainesway.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Nyquist keeps striding forward in the final furlong. He has taken the lead. Swipe moves up behind him toward the outside. Late run from Brody's Cause, but still fifth. It's Nyquist with the lead. Nyquist in front, chased by Swipe. Nyquist to take it.
Hard to believe it's been 5 years, but 5 years ago, Darley Stallion Nyquist was purchased at Basic Tipton's March two-year-old sale for $400,000 and eventually went on to claim the elusive Breeders' Cup Juvenile Kentucky Derby Double. That remarkable feat makes Nyquist your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Nyquist, the leading first crop sire at the yearling sales in 2019 by both average and median. Don't miss your chance to purchase first two-year-olds by the Eclipse Champion at the upcoming OBS and Phasic Tipton sales next month. Learn more about Nyquist and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Smart Remark Ballandine at the back, quarter mile out. Let's see if Curate can do something with Wentz. He Hate Me would like to have something to say. Swings to the far outside, still third. Four lengths off the lead. Curate strides forward to challenge Wentz now. Final furlong, and Curate puts ahead in front, and Wentz tries to respond. These two go at it. Coming to the 16th pole, long way back to He Hate Me in third. Wentz not giving up. Wentz coming back for a short lead. Curate still trying. Wentz, Curate at the line. Photo for the win. Either Wentz or Curate for the top spot. He Hate Me was third.
Kurt Becker with the call of that allowance victory by Wentz. It was Wentz who got the nod that afternoon for trainer Tyler Service, the son of John Service, the nephew of Jason Service and Eddie Plisa Jr. He has a trainer's pedigree, and he is out on his own now. The reason I played that clip is because that was the first starter for Tyler Service, and of course, his first winner. Not a bad way to begin your training career, winning an allowance race at Keeneland. Wentz, of course, named for Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz. And Tyler joined me on our trainer talk show presented by Phasic Tipton this past Wednesday night. That full one-hour interview is available to listen to on our website at horseracingradio.net, and I highly recommend it. It was a fun hour to hear Tyler's story. And because of the success that he's had to start his career, and he has gotten off to a fast start, I thought it was appropriate to make him our industry star of the week. This segment, as always, presented by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation. Stuart wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows that his success is because of you. And with multiple stakes horses over the past several years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales. Well, Tyler Service, as I mentioned, that trainer's pedigree, that fast start, yeah, he deserves to be the industry star of the week. And this little clip from our trainer talk show says it all. I started by pointing out the fact that he has gotten off to the fast start and saddled 12 winners in 2019, coupled with another five already here in 2020, and here's what he had to say about that fast start.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good to start off the year. Gotta thank the team. We work hard here at Parks and wherever we ship off to. So definitely have a good team to support it, and hopefully we can keep things rolling throughout the year.
All right, let's start at the beginning then. Tell me your story. Where did this love of horse racing initially begin for Tyler Service?
I was just from day one, the first time I was even taken to the track as a toddler. I mean, I just remember patting a horse and I was just in love from day one. Then it started, once I got a little bit older, maybe 6-7 years old, I just wanted to go to work with Dad. That was the biggest thing. I always wanted to wake up early and go to work with Dad and see the horses. I was in love with the animal. That was the first love. And then once I got really old enough to understand horse racing, kind of what it was all about, I wasn't old enough to really understand what I do now, but I fell in love with the game, and then that was the second thing I fell in love with. First, it was just the horse, and then I started falling in love with the game.
Did your dad encourage you to follow in his footsteps early on?
That's the hardest thing. I always knew what I wanted to do, but the hardest thing was telling my parents that I didn't want to do what they wanted me to do. That was the hardest thing growing up as a kid. They wanted me to go to school, go to college, get a degree, do something else that didn't follow in Dad's footsteps, go do your own, make your own life. But it's just always what I wanted to do.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. This is a game, and I say it quite often on this show and other programs, that once it gets in your blood, it's very hard to get it out and very hard to want to go do anything else.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I still get pre-race jitters for a 12-5 claimer all the way up to a stake win. I mean, it's the same feeling, and that's what keeps you coming back for more.
So what did your mom and dad say when you approached them and had that conversation with them?
They kind of tried to just push me away from it. They really wanted me to get a degree. They wanted me to go to college. So I actually went to college with the Wheeling Jesuit and was going to play lacrosse there. And after my first year, I found myself just not focused because my heart wasn't there. I knew what I wanted to do.
Did I read somewhere that you used to just kind of sneak into the passenger seat of your dad's car at 5 o'clock in the morning just to make sure he would take you to the barn with him?
Yeah, because he would. I'd always tell him the night before to wake me up and bring me, and he never would. So I had to take it upon myself to just get in the car, and he couldn't refuse at that point.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, again, I went through that litany of your family tree and that pedigree of horse trainers, that long line of successful horse trainers that you come from, and it's just appropriate that you would also be, you know, find yourself in this position of training horses. How about when you decided to go out on your own after working with your dad? How did that conversation go?
That was pretty tough. Me and my dad made a great team. He had confidence in me to ship me to places with some pretty nice horses like Catherine Sophia and Jay Walk, and we made a good team. It was hard to walk away from that. I thought by that time we were really just finally getting in our groove, but at the same time I thought that I needed to better myself, and I wanted to see if I could go out and embark this journey on my own.
That's Tyler Service, our industry star of the week, and yeah, you know, I asked his dad, John, when he was on the show with me a few weeks ago, about his son and how did he know that he was ready to take that step and go out on his own. And he said, you know, both he, Tyler, and his brother Blaine were very, very good horsemen. They are very good horsemen. And Blaine, by the way, working with Tyler now as his assistant. So the brothers teamed up and off to a really quick start. They're good horsemen. They have an eye for a horse, and they treat every horse as an individual, and that's what makes them so successful. And that's something that I've heard as kind of a recurring theme throughout those trainer talk programs every single week. And if you want to go back and hear the full interview, again, 1 hour with Tyler Service, he tells some great stories. You can go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check that podcast out at your leisure. I highly recommend it. It's Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton, every Wednesday night from 6 to 7 Eastern. Here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide on our website as well. All right, coming up in the second half of the program, Brendan Walsh will join me momentarily to talk about Vitalogy in the Palm Beach today, and Maxfield will give an update on how his undefeated 3-year-old is doing as he nears a start to his three-year-old campaign, at least hopefully. Billy Turner, the man who trained Seattle SLU, going to be with me right around 9:10 Eastern time. Bob Elliston from Keeneland at 9:20 and Acacia Courtney to wrap up the program at 9:40 Eastern. And then our Calling All three-year-old segment presented by Spendthrift comes your way in the second half of the show, along with your monthly Kentucky Bread Spotlight brought to you by the KTA KTOB. Going to be a busy second half. Stay with me. I'm back with more right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming real quiet. He's a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One will never forget. Looked impossible.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
On the inside, on a cottage board. On the outside, solo.
Here's Mike Penna.
Back, hour number two of the Equine Forum, rolling on. Busy morning. Happy Leap Day to all of you. This is a leap year here in 2020. So tomorrow, instead of today, will be March 1st. Not welcome news to my wife, whose birthday is tomorrow. She was hoping it was going to be today, but she'll have to be patient and wait one more day for her gift. I'm going to make her wait till tomorrow, too, because tomorrow's her birthday, right? She should have to wait until her actual birthday. Today doesn't count. So, yeah, welcome back to the program. Threw out a poll question at the top of the show and asked you who you feel will be the winner of today's Fountain of Youth Stakes. And the voting coming in may be a little surprising. We gave you some choices. Dennis's Moment, Chance It, and As Seen on TV. Those are the top three in the morning line. Dennis's Moment currently with 48% of the vote. As Seen on TV with 30% of the vote. And then the fourth category was Other, and I asked you to specify if you choose Other. So we have some votes here for Country Grammar, for Shotsky, for Ette Indian, a couple of those coming in for Ette Indian, and we'll see who's right later this afternoon in that Fountain of Youth. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of the first half of the program or any of our shows, you can catch a podcast on our website. You can listen at your leisure, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on Apple Podcasts. Trainer Brendan Walsh is hoping that 2020, even though 2019 was good, he hopes that 2020 really gets started on the right foot after some rough news at the Breeders' Cup. Both of his horses he took out there, Vitalogy and Maxfield, scratched before the Breeders' Cup, could not go. They're both back now. Vitalogy running in the Palm Beach Stakes, the Grade 3 at Gulfstream today, and Maxfield back in training. So let's get a quick update from Brendan, who has a very busy morning. We won't keep him long. Brendan, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mike. How are you doing?
Good, good. I know you got a lot going on today, so we'll make this quick. But let's start with Maxfield and give me an update on how the big horse is doing.
Good, Mike. He's doing great. He's training away really well. We're very happy with him. He's done a couple of works now, just a couple of nice, easy works. He's due to work again tomorrow. The preliminaries anyway are good so far. We haven't pushed any buttons yet, but he's passed every test so far with flying colors. So we'll probably start getting a little more serious with him from here on in.
What was the exact issue with Maxfield after the Breeders' Cup?
We took a chip out of one of his ankles, Mike. Originally we thought maybe it was his foot because he wasn't quite right, but on saying that, he wasn't terrible either. Of course, it was a no-brainer to scratch him. We weren't going to risk him or even try to risk him or anything like that. But it wasn't anything terrible. It was very straightforward procedure just to take the the chip out of the ankle, and he's come back and he's moving super on it. We haven't hasn't shown any negatives at all since he came back. So hopefully that's the way it stays, and we'll get a clear run from here.
Is the Kentucky Derby still on the table for him, Brendan?
I wouldn't rule anything out right now. You know, we'll just have to see. Like I said, when we get a little more serious with him, we'll have to see how them works go. And, you know, I wouldn't completely rule it out. Obviously, we're on the back foot a little bit with the whole thing. But, you know, he exceeded expectations last year. And if he continues to do that, then I just wouldn't rule anything out right now. I'd hate to tell you no and then turn around in a couple of weeks' time and say, oh, he's working lights out. You know, we are going to run him in one of the trials, you know. But there's a long year there. I'm sure he's going to be a good horse, whatever we do with him. You know, it's just a question of getting it right on our part, I think.
Yeah, we're only 63 days away from the first Saturday in May. So if he were going to get there, all things going well, he would likely have one prep race. And then if he gets enough points, he would obviously go to the Kentucky Derby, if he was doing well, of course. Are you comfortable going into the Derby with a horse with just one prep race under his belt?
That's something we're just going to have to see about, you know. I mean, look, there's all kinds of things. Oh, some horses never did this before the Derby. Some horses never did that before the Derby. But there's always, you know, there's always an exception to the rule. They said there's a horse that was a maiden on the 1st of January. Couldn't win a Derby, and that was proved wrong. You know, so look, he would have to be absolutely, you know, like I said, he'd have to really exceed, you know, what you'd expect of the horse. And obviously, we'd keep an eye on what everybody else is doing too. But, you know, like I said, I wouldn't rule anything out right now. But I think we'll know an awful lot more, Mike, in, you know, another 2-3 works' time.
Yeah, he was only half of the two gut punches you got before the Breeders' Cup. The other one was Vitalogy, who had to scratch after that fast-closing finish in the Grade 3 Bourbon Stakes at Keeneland. He returns today in the Palm Beach Stakes. Javier Castellano will be aboard. He's 9-2 on the morning line. Tell me about Vitalogy.
He's doing good, Mike. You know, we gave him some time off after he had gone to the Breeders' Cup, you know, not for any reason other than, you know, he wasn't raced a ton, but he, you know, he had been in Ireland. He travelled over to Woodbine. He came down to us. We threw a lot at him over a short period of time, and we, you know, it was a good time to give him some time off over the winter after his journey to Santa Anita. So, you know, we've got him in. I think we've got just about enough work in him. You know, and the plan always was to try and have him back on the track kind of end of February, beginning of March. So this seemed like a good spot to come back in. You know, he's been working well, and I think he'll give a good account of himself today.
Is there any chance, Brendan, or is this in the back of your head, that if he would run well today, that maybe Vitalogy gets a shot in one of the prep races on the dirt?
Probably not. I think he's an out and out turf horse, Mike. You know, I don't think we'd do that. I think we'll just stick to the turf with him. It wouldn't really be on the cards for him, even though he did actually work pretty good on it last week. But no, I think we'll leave the dirt to Maxfield and the turf for Vitalogy.
Mile and a 16th on the grass at Gulfstream. He draws the outside post in the field of 12. Javier Castellano knows that turf course as good as anybody. Hall of Fame jockey. What are some of the things that Javier will have to keep in mind to make sure that Vitalogy overcomes that outside post?
Well, you know, my last year when he ran in the Dixie Anne of Urban, he was drawn 14-14, and I basically left it to Javier. And I think with this, I think same thing, you know, this is probably not as bad a draw, but, you know, it still doesn't make it any easier on us. So basically I'm going to leave it to Javier, but, you know, we'll see how he breaks. And you know, I mean, if he can't do it from there, no, who can? So I'm just going to leave it up to him. You know, he's ridden the horse before and he's got a big turn of foot. So, you know, I think we'll break and let him settle in. you know, somewhere around the middle to the back and go from there.
Brendan Walsh, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Brendan, I'll let you go. I appreciate a few minutes here this morning. Good luck today and good luck with Maxfield and all your horses moving forward.
Thanks very much, Mike. Thank you.
Brendan Walsh, as good as it gets here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We are going to make an attempt to connect with Billy Turner, the man who conditioned Seattle Slough to win the Triple Crown. And going to wish him a happy birthday here this morning, if we can get a hold of him. Today, his 80th birthday, which makes him an octogenarian. I love to throw that word around. Makes me sound smart, which I'm not. So, yeah, looking forward to visiting with Billy Turner here in just a couple of minutes and hearing his thoughts on Seattle Slough and talking to him about being a leapling, as they call him. People who were born on a leap day, known as leaplings, you know, technically, is he really 80 years old? Does he have to celebrate it? He celebrates a birthday every 4 years. So is he really 80 years old? He's a young 80 years old, is Billy Turner. So hopefully we'll be able to get a hold of him. We'll see. He had a few things going on this morning, but we're going to try him and see if we can catch up with him. So you heard Brendan and you heard Dale, and you heard them talk about their top three-year-olds. Brendan, of course, kind of behind the eight ball with Maxfield, just getting a couple of works under his belt. He'll start to tighten the screws. Not opposed to taking a shot to get to the Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in May, if the horse is doing well. And that's a recurring theme that you hear quite often with so many of these top trainers. Yeah, they want to get to the Kentucky Derby. And Brendan got there last year for the first time with Pluska Parfait. They want to get there. And once they're there, they want to get back there. But they also know, the good trainers know, that they have to let the horse take them there. You can't force them. And now with the point system, you can't go if you don't get enough points anyways in the prep races. You can't force them. You have to let the horse take you there. If the horse is doing well, you take your shot. Dale Romans, same thing with Dennis's Moment. Obviously, he would love to get Dennis's Moment to the Kentucky Derby. I mentioned he's never won it. He's a native of Louisville. He would love nothing more than to win the Kentucky Derby. But again, he's going to let the horse take him there. It's been an up-and-down journey with Dennis's Moment and Dale Romans. He loses the jockey in his first start, his maiden start. Then he comes back and wins two races impressively, and then comes back and stumbles at the start, loses all chance, and is up the track in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile as the favorite. So he's going to let Dennis's Moment take him there. And I think that's probably the right approach for a horse like Dennis's Moment and for a guy like Dale Romans. Another guy who knows a thing or two about training a good horse is trainer Billy Turner. I told you today is his 80th birthday, the man who conditioned Seattle Slough to win the Triple Crown in 1977. Yeah, he was born on Leap Day. He is a leapling. And 80th birthday today. He's with me now for a few minutes here on HRRN. Billy, thanks for taking a little time, and happy birthday, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I pointed out a few minutes ago that if you're born on a leap day, you celebrate a birthday every 4 years. Are you really 80?
Yes. this is my... I never dreamed it possible because all my peers and so forth and so on have all passed away.
Well, thankfully, you are still here with us, and you're able to join me here for a few minutes this morning. How are you going to celebrate your 80th birthday, Billy?
Very, very quietly. And you know, when you get to my age, you don't advertise. You just be thankful for that you're here.
Billy, when I say the name Seattle Slough, what are some of the first things that pop into your head?
Well, just a phenomenal athlete, phenomenal animal, very intelligent, and phenomenal speed, and he could, and there was just no quit in him.
Yeah, he was ultra tough. You know, we talk about horses today, Billy, and some people say, well, you have to train them differently than you did back in the 70s and the 60s and the 50s, and they're different types of horses. But look, we've seen two Triple Crown winners in recent years, ending a long drought. How do you get a horse ready for the Triple Crown, Billy? What's the key?
Well, the thing is, I was fortunate enough to be surrounded by some of the greatest, a number of the greatest trainers of our times. And one was Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, and the other one was Ben Jones. And Ben Jones, as you know, he came for Calumet and five Derby winners and two Triple Crown winners, all that kind of stuff. And the same with Fitzsimmons. And one thing that they pointed out to me quietly on the side is Ben Jones' exercise boys were all 160 pounds or more. And I said, yeah, that's a lot. And he said, you know, you don't gallop the hell out of them every day, but you sit on them for an hour. And that's one thing both Fitzsimmons and Jen Jones did. They would, the horse would go out and be ridden for an hour. That is not done today at all. And what that does is it just gets them strong without putting any undue stress on their legs and so forth. But it gets their back strong. And it's the back that collapses when the horse starts tiring. And when it collapses enough, well, then it puts all the pressure on the ligaments, and then you just start getting bowed tendons and all that kind of stuff. Well, you avoid all that if you have the horse well conditioned, and taking him out and galloping him 2 miles is a waste of time. It's just and things like that. And Fitzsimmons said, never give him a day off. Never give. Well, he said if they're sick or something like that, but never give him a day off. And, if you're getting a horse ready for the Triple Crown, and those things are, but that doesn't mean you gallop the hell out of them every day.
Talking with trainer Billy Turner here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating his 80th birthday on this leap day here on February 29th. Billy, when you sit there today on your birthday and you think back on your career and all the success that you've had, obviously Seattle SLU is always going to hold a special place, but is there another moment or two that come to mind that when you think back on your career that for whatever reason, you're never going to forget?
Well, the probably right after Seattle SLU, I had a horse called Zarevich, who was one of the first Nijinskys to race on the dirt in this country, and he was a very, very tough horse to handle, because he walked to the racetrack on his hind legs just like a man, and I thought, well, I don't know anything about Nijinskys, but I'll just let him do that. And he turned out to be a good horse. He only ran 13 times, but he won 8, and he was second in the others. So there you go.
Billy, I remember a few years ago when I was at Belmont to cover one of the Triple Crowns, I guess maybe it was even American Pharoah's year, you were kind enough to spend a little time with me in the radio booth and sit down for an interview, and I told everybody you won't find a nicer person in horse racing than Billy Turner, and you're kind enough to spend a little time with me here this morning, too, so I appreciate that, and it was great to hear your voice, and happy 80th birthday, my friend.
Well,
many more.
Now, I'm dying to know, are you related to any of the Pennas that I know that train at Belmont or trained at Belmont?
I am not. No, Angel Penna. I get that question a lot. I am not related to any of them, although I grew up in Western Massachusetts, went to Saratoga a lot. But no, I never was related to any of them.
Any of the Pennas, okay. Okay, I never had a chance to ask you that question.
Yeah, no, not at all. Billy, listen, I have to get to a commercial break, but happy 80th, my friend, and many, many more.
Well, thank you for calling me.
Thank you for taking the time.
Take care.
Yeah, Billy Turner.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, what a super, super nice guy. And I wish I could spend more. I wish we had an hour to spend with Billy Turner. The stories he could tell. Yeah, an old school. I love it. Great stuff from Billy Turner there. My thanks to him for taking a little time. We're going to get to a break. I'll turn my attention next to Keeneland and Churchill with the announcement of the new safety protocols they have in place for the upcoming spring meets. Bob Elliston will join me from Keeneland next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
The Florida Thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida Breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, and along the way, making 170 racehorse millionaires, plus 66 Eclipse Awards, with two Florida Breds, Imperial Hint and World of Trouble, receiving Eclipse Award nominations in 2020. The FDBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
Time-tested Broken Vow continues to deliver quality black-type stakes horses at a 15% clip. The top son of Unbridled has sired over 150 black-type horses, 80 black-type winners, and over $75 million in earnings. Among the 12 black-type horses sired by Broken Vow in 2019 was dual Canadian Classic winner Tone Broke, winner of classic races on dirt and turf. Also the sire of Imprimis, the speedy Keeneland graded stakes winner of over $440,000. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Deep in the heart of horse country, from these Kentucky hills has sprung a legacy rivaled by few. From the all-time greats of yesterday to the breed-shaping bloodlines of today, our roots hold strong with the promise of tomorrow. For over a century, our passion has guided us to where we stand and everything we stand for. Claiborne Farm. The tradition continues.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Unanimous champion two-year-old and three-time Grade 1 winner Classic Empire got off to a fantastic start with his first weanlings at the November sales. Averaging over $100,000 from 27 sold, up to eight times his initial $35,000 stud fee. Right on the same cross as champion freshman sire American Pharaoh, Classic Empire's outstanding race record is backed up with a stallion's pedigree. Being from the family of Harlan's Holiday, Ride the Rails, and Bold Nijin. Standing for just $20,000, Classic Empire looks like a serious value for 2020.
This is jockey Julien Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Quarter mile to come, Loud Band and Star Hill, 1-2 off the far turn. Brody's Cause has work to do to catch them. They're coming to the eighth pole. Cards of Stone, fourth. Cherry Wine is fifth up on the outside. My Man Sam is on the grandstand side in sixth. Brody's Cause just keeps grinding away. Cherry Wine is running late on the outside. Brody's Cause at the 16th pole, chased by Cherry Wine. My Man Sam running huge from last, but Brody's Cause in front. Brody's Cause for Luis Saez to win the Toyota Bluegrass from My Man Sam, and then Cherry Wine further back. Loud Band, 1:50.15.
Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. That was Kurt Becker with the call of the 2016 running of the Bluegrass Stakes here at Keeneland, and Brody's Cause getting the victory for Dale Romans, one of two wins in the race for Dale, both of those coming in a leap year, 2012 with Doulahan, 2016 with Brody's Cause. So as I pointed out in my interview with him in the first half of the show, he needs to have a horse in the Bluegrass again this year, because it's almost a guarantee. He's won it twice, both in leap years. Why not go for three and pull off the hat trick here in 2020? And I know that that would be welcome news to Bob Elliston, who is the Vice President of Racing and Sales at Keeneland. Bob, first of all, good morning and welcome to the show. But I just wanted to let you know I'm recruiting for the Keeneland races for you.
I appreciate that, Mike. I always love hearing Kurt Becker's call of those races. And Dale Romans wins much more often than once every 4 years. But, man, when you win the Bluegrass every 4 years, that'll do pretty well at $1 million, right?
Yeah, he told me he has to make sure that he has a horse in there now. So you can count Dale in after that little stat.
Oh, he always supports us. He's a Kentucky guy who loves racing with us, and, of course, down the road at Churchill. So I always look forward to seeing him down in South Florida, and he always has a smile on his face looking to get back here, for sure.
Well, listen, some big news coming out this week on Thursday, as a matter of fact, when Keeneland and Churchill announced some new safety protocols, at least equine safety protocols, that are going to be in place starting here in April with the spring meet. So I'll let you fill me in on some of the new things that are going to take place.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for having me on about that. It's really, really important. There's no question about it. Our industry is under tremendous scrutiny from our fans who expect more and better from us, as well as policymakers. When you see the likes of the governor of California, you see the hearings in D.C., we all have a tremendous responsibility to ensure we have the safest environment we can for horse racing, and that's what these reforms are about. As part of our Thoroughbred Safety Coalition, where major racetracks across the country, as well as the Breeders' Cup, have joined to evaluate how we can be better, how we can do more in terms of protecting the animals that are racing, these beautiful animals that are racing on our surfaces. And what I'd say at the focal point of these reforms is bringing forward one of the most critical parts of that responsibility, and that's the veterinary community. The veterinarians, perhaps, along with trainers, obviously, they're the ones who understand the anatomy of the horse. They understand the conditioning of the horse. They understand when something may be just off and be kind of a forerunner, if you will, or a foreshadowing of something that may be more difficult coming on. And that's what these reforms are on, really about getting the vets to be with the horsemen, evaluating those horses before they work or before they race, and ensuring that they're in peak physical condition and capable of running.
So what are some of the new things that are going to take place starting in April, Bob?
So if you work a horse at Keeneland or at Churchill Downs in a morning, 5 days, at least within 5 days prior to that, you have to have a vet examine that horse for soundness. They have to get them out and jog them. They have to palp their ankles and knees and look at these horses and make sure that they're in sound physical condition. Same thing goes before you enter a horse. You've got to have 3 days prior to that, you've got to have that a veterinarian evaluate that horse. Those are two key components. Three, as part of what the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission initiated in December, This is more of an integrity issue versus a safety issue, but that is the phase out of LASIX administration. So no more race day medication for two-year-olds in this year, and then in 21, that will extend to all stakes races. And I think you're seeing this happen not only in Kentucky with Keeneland and Churchill, but it's happened in California. NYRA is moving that way. So I think as a lot of people have asked for an extended period of time, we're going to remove any kind of administration of medicine on race day. And I think give confidence to the bettors and the fans of the sport. We're doing all we can to have the most integrity we possibly can. So those are the key things as part of the reforms.
Yeah, and whenever you make these kinds of changes, and we've seen California already implement these particular types of changes, you're going to get people on both sides of the fence. You're going to have mm-hmm. people who agree with them. You're going to have people who don't agree with them. And horsemen in particular are going to have to adjust to these different changes. So, you know, they're going to be the first ones to be heard from. Del Romans was on with me in the first half of the show, and I asked him if he had any thoughts on the new protocols that are going to be in place here in Kentucky. And he said, well, that's a much longer conversation. So I think he does have some thoughts, positive or negative, I don't know. But what reaction have you received, Bob, from some of the horsemen that you're hearing from now?
Well, I think what's encouraging to me is every constituency in this business, be it owners, breeders, trainers, racetrack management, jockeys, every single one of us know we have a responsibility to create this environment. And wherever we touch the horse, however we can do it for us, it's putting these reforms in place or ensuring we have the safest racing surfaces we can. For trainers, it's conditioning their horses the best way they can. For veterinarians, doing what they can to ensure those horses are delivered to the racing surface in the soundest possible way. I realize change is difficult, but what I'm getting back is I understand the environment we're in from trainers and owners, and we have to make these changes. Now, I will say you have to have a basis for these changes. You just can't throw stuff on the wall and hope it sticks, okay? And so that's why we're making these changes at this point well ahead of our race meeting, so horsemen know what they can expect. They can adapt their regimens to incorporate these new reforms into their normal course of work. But at its core, what's different about this reform, I think, is everybody understands their part in it, and they're not just putting their hand up and saying no, I disagree. They may disagree, but they understand. at the core reason why we need to be doing these kinds of things.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that was something I thought of, too, as I was reading through the press release that was released on Thursday. The one common denominator that we have in the sport, and this can be a fragmented sport, as you know, Bob, the one common denominator that we all have is that we are all in favor of coming up with ways to make the sport safer for the equine and the human participants. There's no doubt about it. That is indisputable. But it's a lot like, and horse racing is not the Lone Ranger. It's a lot like the NFL. I like to draw that parallel, where the NFL is dealing with injuries and concussion issues that they are trying to regulate out of the sport. We're never going to be able to regulate injuries out of the game of horse racing. So I guess the question I had as I was reading through, and I had the same question with California too, is what happens with all of these safety protocols? We are doing everything we can possibly do. What happens when a horse does go out and sustain an injury during a race, even with all of these different protocols in place? What does the industry then say?
I think the parallel you draw from the NFL is exact. The NFL had a serious problem with concussions. Quite honestly, they weren't doing much about it. And I think that was the recognition on their part. There had to be an effort, a material effort, to try to change. And so they've invested significant dollars in research, in helmet construction, in the protocols that they put in place for injured players.
Yeah.
That corollary, I think, is very much where we're at as well. Horse racing, there is a love of horse racing out there. I mean, it is still there. The research we do, we can see there's deep-seated love of the sport pretty broadly, honestly. Where the difficulty comes is if you have a problem and you do nothing about it, you get forgotten pretty quickly, and you'll be dismissed, particularly where there's a beautiful animal at the core of this, right? What we have to do is demonstrate we're trying, demonstrate we are making serious efforts at every step with every constituency to try to reduce the breakdowns. You and I know, unfortunately, we'll never eliminate breakdowns altogether, but we can certainly move the numbers down. We can certainly demonstrate with confidence to our fans that we're trying to do what's right by the horse. And if we do that and we reduce the numbers and we improve through research and collective efforts, I think that the racing fans will say they're doing all they can. I love this sport. I would prefer there not be any breakdowns, but as long as they're doing everything they can to protect them, I'm going to be supportive of it.
Talking with Bob Elliston, the vice president of racing and sales at Keeneland. Of course, that announcement coming out on Thursday with the new equine safety protocols that will go into existence starting here in April with the spring meet. Bob, this next question is not a Keeneland question by any stretch of the imagination. It is more of an industry question. And I guess I'm wondering, with some of the news that came out after your press release, is it possible for the industry to go too far with some of these things? And here's what I mean by that. The CHRB, the California Horse Racing Board, came out with some new protocols that they're going to put in place, which are even more stringent. And they basically say that after a horse is entered into a race, until the time that the horse actually races, so from entry time until the horse goes to the post and starts in a race, they can literally be given nothing but hay, oats, and water, literally. So that includes no vitamins, no electrolytes, and that has had some horsemen up in arms in California. Can the industry go too far on this?
Well, I think you have to communicate to the affected constituents. In this case, the trainers, I think a lot of the criticism, as I read it, came out because they had no idea it was coming. It was literally an overnight kind of situation that said, you know, at midnight tonight, based on your entries, you can't do any more of this. I don't think we should be, and I'm not saying that necessarily was a gotcha kind of situation, but we have to communicate what's expected of these folks. And I think it's got to be rooted in science, and it's got to be rooted in a real opportunity to make an improvement. I read a comment by Owen Hardy who talked about shipping a horse from Southern California to Northern California in 110-degree heat. You know, is there a problem with giving electrolytes to that horse 2 days prior to his race,
right,
after that extended period of high heat? On the surface, I see where Owen's coming from there, but I don't know the specifics about all the reforms that they've put in place just recently. But what I do know is I think you have to communicate and give horsemen an opportunity to adapt and know what's coming and prepare for that, rather than, you know, impose something immediately without any warning whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, I mean, things like that, like vitamins, like electrolytes, I mean, these are things that athletes use, you know, across the board in every sport to replenish things that they lose. And, to me, that's, in my opinion, that's going too far. That's a little ridiculous. But, you know, again, that's not a Keeneland thing. That's an industry thing. And it's a California thing. But, Bob, listen, I appreciate the visit here this morning. Very forthright in laying these things out for me. And can't wait to get out there for the spring meet.
I can't wait either, Mike. Appreciate all your support and appreciate the channel that you provide for our fans to hear about these really important issues and enjoy this tremendous game. Here I sit visiting with you while I've got the TV on watching the Saudi Cup. So, we're all in this together, and it's always great to visit with you, my friend.
Appreciate it. Bob Elliston here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. When I come back, it's our Calling All Three-Year-Olds segment presented by Spendthrift, and I'll be joined by Acacia Courtney from Gulfstream to handicap the Fountain of Youth and a couple of the other stakes down there on this Saturday program. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Gio Ponti, a three-time Eclipse Award winner.
Gio Ponti adds the million to his grade one collection.
Champion older male.
The champion,
Gio Ponti to take the Shadwell Turf Mile for Ramon Dominguez.
And two-time champion male turf horse with career earnings over $6 million.
Final 16th of the Shadwell Turf Mile, Gio Ponti. Wise Dan charging after Get Stormy. Gio Ponti from the outside. How about that? Gio Ponti will go back to the winner's circle.
In 2019, Gio Ponti is the sire of 10 stakes horses and 7 stakes winners from 5.5 furlongs to 12 furlongs, including Grade 2 winner America's Tail, Grade 3 winner Gucci Factor, and stakes winners Long Runner, Dubini, Giovanna Blues, and Olympic Runner. In addition, Gio Ponti has produced champion sprinter and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong and million-dollar Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
The Florida Thoroughbred industry is celebrating 75 years with the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. And what a successful 75 it has been. Florida Breds have won 19 Triple Crown races, 52 national championships, and along the way, making 170 racehorse millionaires, plus 66 Eclipse Awards, with two Florida Breds, Imperial Hint and World of Trouble, receiving Eclipse Award nominations in 2020. The FTBOA, celebrating 75 years. Join Florida for the next 25.
Fans, join us for great racing and much more this weekend at Spectacular Santa Anita. Please note on Saturday, Santa Anita and Golden Gate Field will launch the all-new $5 Golden Hour Double, which includes the last race at both tracks each racing day. The all-new Golden Hour Double will feature a fan-friendly 15% takeout, and Santa Anita will get the Golden Hour Party started by handing out free $5 Golden Hour Double betting vouchers near Sirona Sports Bar on the grandstand main floor this Saturday and Sunday. Santa Anita, great racing and great value. In a world-class setting.
Adina Springs bred, raced, and developed Awesome Again and Ghost Sapper into important stallions. Now comes Ghost Sapper's best son, Shaman Ghost, bred, raced, and backed by the strength of Adina. A Hall of Fame runner like his sire and grandsire, Shaman Ghost captured the classic Queen's Plate at 3 en route to his Sovereign Award championship. At ages 4 and 5, Shaman Ghost made cross-country history as the only horse in the past 30 years to capture both the Woodward Stakes and Santa Anita Handicap.
Shaman Ghost, he has won the Woodward!
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
Shaman Ghost would go on to earn over $3.8 million with repeated success at the highest level. Additional graded wins include the Grade 2 Brooklyn Invitational, the Marine Stakes, and Pimlico Special, before defeating the likes of Keen Ice and California Chrome, went second to Arrogate in the inaugural $16 million Pegasus World Cup. Ghost Sapper's best son, Shaman Ghost, standing at Adina Springs, Kentucky. Look for his fantastic first yearlings at the sales in 2020.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN, counting down to the first Saturday in May, 63 days, 8 hours, 7 minutes, and now 23 seconds away from Saturday, May 2nd in the Run for the Roses. Time now for our weekly Calling All 3-Year-Old segment, presented by Spendthrift.
They're all in line. And they're off.
Spendthrift Farm presents Calling All 3-Year-Olds with Bobby Newman.
The Derby Trail headed overseas last week to Japan for the Hyacinth Stakes and Ireland for the Patton. Horses based outside the U.S. have gotten close to contending in the Derby recently, but it's been a long time since any of them have threatened to actually win the Roses. Just last year, Japanese-based Master Fencer finished sixth in the Derby. Master of Hounds used the Dubai route in 2011 before his fifth-place finish in Kentucky, and Eltish came from England before his sixth-place finish in 1995. But the last horse to actually hit the board in the Derby? You've got to go all the way back to 1986, when Bold Arrangement finished second to Ferdinand. Well, we're back stateside for a huge race today. It's the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream, carrying 85 Derby points, including 50 for the winner. That means whoever wins will almost assuredly have enough Derby points to secure a spot in the starting gate on the first Saturday in May. A full field of 12 was entered, and the morning line favorite is Dennis's Moment. He hasn't raced since stumbling badly at the start of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and finishing far back as the odds-on choice. It's the second time he's had a major issue at the start. But when he's left the gate cleanly, he's been a dominating force. Expect him to fire a big shot off the layoff today. He'll have to beat some talented three-year-olds, though, including As Seen on TV, Ete Andion, and Chance It. The latter two got the worst of the post positions, drawing 11 and 12, respectively. They'll need plenty of racing luck to avoid being hung very wide in the first turn. I'll be back with this week's top five list right after this word from Spendthrift.
Lord Nelson, one of only three sprinters last decade to win three Grade Ones in a single year, along with champions Run Happy and Mattoli. His three consecutive Grade One victories included a stakes record performance in 107 3/5 in Del Mar's historic Bing Crosby Stakes.
Lord Nelson, a dominating performance, easy in the Bing Crosby.
An unrivaled blend of elite speed and pedigree. Lord Nelson, Pulpit's last great son. Look for his first yearling selling this summer. Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
This week's top five list of Derby contenders looks like this. Number 1,000 Words should show up next Saturday in the San Felipe at Santa Anita. Number 2, Dennis's Moment, the morning line favorite in today's Fountain of Youth. Number 3, Authentic, another Bob Baffert trainee. He may also go in the San Felipe next weekend or wait for the Rebel at Oaklawn on March 14th. Numbers 4 and 5, the 2-1 finishers from the Sam F. Davis at Tampa, Independence Hall and Sole Volante. They may show up against each other once again in the Tampa Bay Derby next weekend. That's your Calling All Three-Year-Old segment presented by Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Well, we do edge closer to the first Saturday in May, and a lot of questions going to be answered, including in today's Fountain of Youth Stakes at Gulfstream Park. And to help talk about that race and a couple others is the ultra-talented Little A, Acacia Courtney, here on HRRN. Acacia, happy Fountain of Youth Day.
Thank you. Thank you. We're starting early today. First post, 11:30. 14 races today, so should be a good one. I don't know if people listening had a chance to look at the card yet, but, I mean, it's just stacked from start to finish, so we're gearing up for a good day.
How's the weather down there today? Good conditions?
It is. It's great. It was very breezy and on the chilly side yesterday. Those obviously not in Florida are rolling their eyes at us saying that it's cool, but it feels different when it gets colder down in Florida. I will definitely say that, but it's gorgeous today. It's going to be low 70s. Sun is out. A little bit less windy than yesterday as well.
Let's start with the Fountain of Youth. It will be the final of the 14 races on this Saturday program. 12 horses are entered. There was some conversation about Chance It potentially coming out because of the outside post position. As of just a little bit ago, I think he is still in, so some decisions yet to be made. But 12 horses set to go. How'd you see this one?
Yeah, he is still in. He does have until 45 minutes before the race, as is the protocol for graded stakes. So he's got some time. There was one scratch just of the number two horse in there. But this is a tough race. Chance It's been really impressive and ultra-talented and obviously a fun horse to watch down here. But I did go with the horse that actually finished second to him, the Mucho Macho Man, and that is As Seen on TV for Kelly Breen. I just thought that this horse, who I had not actually seen him physically before leading into that last race, and he really showed me, both in the flesh and his performance, that he was the type that could handle the stretch out and distance effectively. I think he's drawn well, and he's going to be really tough. Obviously, Dennis's Moment is going to take a lot of attention, Chance It as well, and those are some good horses, but I'm going to land on As Seen on TV.
Yeah, As Seen on TV, 9-2 on the morning line, has been extremely consistent. You mentioned the four starts, two wins, 2 seconds, and that runner-up in the Mucho Macho Man last time, 9-2 under Paco Lopez here this afternoon. I'd like to spend more time talking with you about some of the other contenders, but in the interest of time here this morning, let's move on to the race for the three-year-old girls. We don't want to neglect the fillies. The grade two Devona Dale is race number 10, 1 mile on the main track. It will go right around that 4 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah, this is an exciting race. You've got Tonalist Shape to the outside. Safi Joseph Jr. is obviously really burst onto the scene this year with the likes of Math Wizard and then, of course, a potential Derby contender in Chancet. And he's also got the filly that, again, is undefeated and turned out to be the first graded stakes winner for Tonalist, the sire. And she, even though she's been so impressive, it does kind of feel like even in this race that she still has a little something to prove. So it'll be interesting. I think that the race really revolves around the Todd Pletcher filly in Spice is Nice. I mean, she was just a monster in her debut. And I spoke to Todd yesterday, and he said that she was the filly that they obviously really had high hopes for, given the purchase price and her breeding out of Dame Dorothy. And she not only showed up in her debut, but I watched pretty much all of her recent workouts at Palm Beach Downs. And I spoke to Todd about this too, and that she's been training for the most part with some of the really highly touted colts in his barn, including Liam's Point, who was really well tipped out, Market Analysis, just some very talented horses that have won first time out. And she's been training with the colts. A lot of them, she almost kind of dwarfs in size too. She's a very, very big filly, but she has a nice way of moving. And they, Todd had said that was a way of them kind of testing just how good is she. And she's really responded to every test.
Yeah, that first start, she just dominated her maiden race on January 12th. She won by 12, ran away from the field. It probably could have been more if they wanted it to be. That was at the same one-mile distance as today's Devona Dale. Was there a – obviously she was the favorite that day, Acacia, but was there a palpable buzz around Spice is Nice when she walked into the paddock that day?
There was, and, you know, she would not necessarily be the type of horse that I would – pick out in a lineup just based off of, you know, looks for a horse that would win first time out. Like I said, she's very big. She's bi-curling. She has kind of a long stride, a long neck to her. And I thought that she was going to win, but I was almost wondering, would she need a race? Would she need two turns? And she's just so talented that she was almost kind of able to overcome maybe not looking like the precocious, sharp, first-out type of winner. So I thought that that was really interesting as well. And obviously, this is going to be a tougher spot going right into graded stakes company. But I think that she is really one of the box office potential superstars on this undercard today, and I'm excited to see her. I also used underneath, though, in second, I used the 5 Reluctant Bride, who I think is good, and I like her switching to dirt today. She's got dirt pedigree, and I spoke to Patrick Biancone the other day, and he said he tries a lot of his horses that he thinks are good on the turf first, Ete Indian and Sol Volante being perfect examples, and he says he thinks it's an easier trip, and then you switch them to dirt, and that just might be where they're most comfortable, and that's what he's doing with this one today, who just closed so impressively in her first race, and I think that she's got some ability too.
Talking with Acacia Courtney from Gulfstream Park here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, Fountain of Youth Day, 14 races. We have time to look at one more, Acacia. I have about a minute or so just over that before we have to get to the next segment. The Gulfstream Park Mile is race number 12, another big field, 11 horses entered, 1 mile on the main track.
Yeah, this is a very interesting race. Kieran McLaughlin has two, including Hi-Cal and True Timber. I really like Hi-Cal second off the layoff. I think he's going to be a big improvement for him today. And I think a horse that kind of always flies under the radar is Hog Creek Hustle. He's actually my top pick. Saw him Paddock School the other day for Vicky Foley. I think he's actually better going the 7 furlongs, 1 turn mile, which is what he gets today. And just as a side note, it's a treat to see Pegasus World Cup runner-up Mr. Freeze back, and he'll turn back in distance as well for Dale Romans, who could potentially have a big day.
Yeah, it could be a huge day for Dale, and Acacia has a very busy day ahead of her, so we'll let her go. Acacia, you squeezed me in this morning. I appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Anything for you, Mike.
Go enjoy the rest of the day, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being here.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, she's the best. Acacia Courtney, the little A here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Do miss having her with us on the network, but she's doing good things down there at Gulfstream and on some of the other national TV shows. Time now for your Kentucky Bred update, brought to you by the KTA KTOB, this monthly segment focusing on Kentucky Breds. And don't forget that with average daily purses that are on the rise here in the state of Kentucky, there is no better time to race in the bluegrass. Purse money at the state's 5 racetracks is increasing at a faster rate than anywhere else in the country. And in 2019, average daily purses at Churchill Downs increased a whopping, how about this, 39% to nearly $800,000.
$100,000. Ellis Park rose 38% to $300,000. Turfway Park was up 30% to nearly $125,000. Kentucky Downs rose 12% to more than $2.3 million. And Keeneland increased 6.4% to more than $760,000. There is absolutely no better time to race in Kentucky than right now. To learn more, visit KentuckyBreds.org. I'll be back with some final thoughts and to wrap this one up right after this on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Lord Nelson, one of only three sprinters last decade to win three Grade Ones in a single year, along with champions Run Happy and Mitoli. His three consecutive Grade One victories included a stakes record performance in 107 3/5 in Del Mar's historic Bing Crosby Stakes.
Lord Nelson, a dominating performance, easy in the Bing Crosby.
An unrivaled blend of elite speed and pedigree. Lord Nelson, Pulpit's last great son. Look for his first yearling selling this summer. Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Shadwell Farm, home to world-class stallions, presents two young stars. Mo Heyman, undefeated two-year-old, multiple graded stakes winner at 2 and 3. A dazzling son of Tappan, winner of his first 5 career starts, 4 in graded stakes. Grade 1 winner, Tamer Coos, winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. This son of Spitestown was a top international miler that earned over $1.8 million. Shadwell Farm, building speed for the future.
The road to the Florida Derby continues at Gulfstream Park. Join us on Saturday, February 29th for the Fasig Tipton Fountain of Youth. Watch the top three-year-old thoroughbreds compete for their chance to become legends. Feel the heart-pounding action up close while viewing from the rail or enjoy within the comfort of our trackside restaurants, Ten Palms or Flamingo Room. Gulfstream provides the best in sports entertainment. Come early to receive a Gulfstream Park umbrella with the purchase of a program. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for more information. Gulfstream Park, thrills at every turn.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Power.
Cara Conti has won.
Passion.
It's Cara Conti winning by a barren neck or so.
Performance.
Cara Conti on door. Cara Conti.
Gainesway Stallion Cara Conti. A precocious Group 1 winner as a two-year-old and a three-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 132 4/5, recording a 114 buyer speed figure. Cara Conti possesses a strong Stormcat male line and hails from a top female family, which includes the hugely influential champion Miask as his third dam. The only second crop sire with graded stakes winners on dirt and turf, Cara Conti's first crop of three-year-olds includes Sol Volante, winner of the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis Stakes, and undefeated colt Kenzai Warrior, who was pointed to the Group 1 English 2000 Guineas. Value priced at just $10,000, Cara Conti gets the gold according to Chris McGrath's Value Podium in the TDN. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Cara Conti at Gainesway.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Well, don't forget to pick up your copy of the Blood Horse magazine and tablet. Inside the February 29th issue, you'll find a nice segment on AP Indy, Breed Shaper, and One of the Great Ones by Lenny Shulman and Frank Angst. Maryland, a model of concussion protocol, but few states following the lead. That's part of that issue as well. And trainer Joseph O'Brien, already out of his father's shadow at age 26. All of those part of the Blood Horse magazine and tablet in the February 29th issue, and so much more as well. Don't miss any coverage of the three-year-old Derby prep races and other races around the country like only Blood Horse can bring you. All you have to do is go to bloodhorse.com/daily. And for weekly coverage, including the feature stories on the horses, the people, and our sport, count on the industry's only weekly publication. That's bloodhorse.com/daily. Well, about a minute or so left to wrap this one up for you. My thanks to all the guests who joined me this morning to make this one possible. Very busy morning. We started with Liam O'Rourke from Windstar. Dale Romans was with me in the first half of the show. Brendan Walsh. Billy Turner. Fun interview with him. Bob Elliston from Keeneland and Acacia Courtney just a few moments ago. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of the show, all you have to do is head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast at your leisure. You can also do that, Horse Racing Radio Network, on Apple Podcasts. Results for our poll question today. It looks like Dennis's Moment is going to hold on for the victory. 45% of the vote saying that he is the pick to win today's Fountain of Youth Stakes at Gulfstream, as seen on TV. Acacia's top pick, second with 24%, Chance It at 16%, and then the other category at 15%. And some of those horses that people like, Country Grammar, Shotsky getting a couple of votes, and Ette Indian getting a couple of votes as well. Again, that race, race number 14 on this Saturday program, coming up at Gulfstream later today. I'm back with you next week here on the Equine Forum. Make sure you tune in to all of our shows throughout the week and follow us at HRN on our Twitter feed. For my producer, Lee Della Pina, for Chauncey handling social media, I'm Mike Pena. Thanks for listening, and hey, go Steelers!